Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. The trumpet that you heard playing was that of the great Maynard Ferguson, who supposedly sets records with high notes. I don't know music, but I do recall hearing that he can hit high C over C. And I caught him a couple of times. I had a buddy that loved him. He was a trumpet player, too, but he was not a good trumpet player. But we used to go down, I think we went once to the Metropole Cafe in New York, and we heard the Maynard play. And when Maynard started hitting those notes, my buddy cracked up like he was laughing, like, you know, he went insanely crazy. It was really funny. Then I took another friend out to the Hilton Hotel at JFK on a Sunday. And there were two jazz guys out there. One was, what was his name? He was a piano player, a very mild piano player. And the other guy was Maynard Ferguson. So my buddy was hungover from the night before. And we got an upfront table, and Oscar Peterson was the piano player, and so, you know, he was having a coffee and a cigarette, and Oscar Peterson was tickling the ivories, and my buddy fell asleep. And when Oscar was finished and walked off the stage, in comes this 16-piece orchestra. Lots of trombones, lots of trumpets, lots of saxophones, and they set up. And Maynard Ferguson likes to open with a blast, and that's what they did. They opened up with 16 musicians all hitting the blast at once, and it blew my buddy out of the chair. It was really funny. I'm looking at an article about Dinesh D'Souza. You know Dinesh D'Souza? He's the one that did the documentary on Obama. He made a movie about Obama, and they put him on a hit list, and they sent the IRS after him to punish him for insubordination. And they got Dinesh, and he pleaded guilty to campaign contributions in the names of two, I think, of his employees, and he put $10,000 in each employee's pocket to donate to, I forget who the Republican candidate was. So the limit was five. So they got Dinesh, and they took away his right to bear arms. They fined him, I forget how much money, and he's on probation. And this is what they do to their enemies. But Hillary Clinton's brother can get caught with $450,000 in cash in a bag given to him to buy pardons for a Vignali that's in prison for drug running. And the most that happens is the brother gets to take the money back to the Vignali crime family, and no charges are brought against anybody. Now, you know, her brother didn't get the $450,000. That $450,000 was for Bill and Hillary. And, of course, with Hillary in her standard communist interview, the Democrat Party is the Communist Party, her standard interview, when they said, "What are you doing with all this money, Hillary?" "Oh, no, it's not mine, it's my brother's." "Yeah, but what's your brother doing with all this money?" "I have no idea. I'm shocked and appalled." These are two communist buzzwords. When every time they get caught hurting somebody, stealing, betraying the country, they're always shocked and appalled. So here's Dinesh D'Souza's a dire warning. Americans are being prepared for a political and financial shakedown. And you know what bugs me? Rudy Giuliani, who convicted Mark Rich, never says a word about the Rich pardon. Never once did I ever hear him say anything. And that, to me, cast the shadow of doubt over Rudy Giuliani, because if I was the district attorney who convicted Mark Rich of trading with Iran, and President Clinton pardons him for a golden saxophone and lots of money, allegedly, but you know, these politicians don't do anything for anything, right? They don't do anything. "I'm going to do this out of the goodness of my heart." First off, Democrats have no hearts, and secondly, they have no goodness. But Rudy never said a word, not a peep, and nobody ever asked him. Now, why didn't somebody say, why does it take me, a guy, just an average Joe, to ask that question, when all of these journalists who make their money on being journalistic Yeah, before a living. Never asked the Giuliani, how did you feel when the Clinton sprung Mark Rich for money? And he never said boo, and nobody ever asked him. You know what that tells me? The press was told not to ask him. Well, you mean the press is captive too? Oh, yeah. NBC, you might as well have Harry Reid open up NBC every morning. Yeah, Harry Reid, the cattle rustler. What a disgrace he is. But the whole Democrat Party is a disgrace. You can't be Catholic and be in the Democrat Party. And you can't be an Irish Catholic and be in the Democrat Party. Because they got songs about guys like you. And they all start with Quisling. Yeah. In connection with the release of his new book, oh, he's flashing his book, that's good, America, Imagine a World Without Her. We conducted an interview with best-selling conservative author and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza. Now, I don't know much about Dinesh D'Souza. I know hardly anything about him. But I'm going to guess that he's Catholic, and he's an Indian Catholic. And I got to tell you, they are some of the finest Catholics you'll ever meet. They are religious to the point that they would stand outside a church a block away in an open parking lot in 120-degree heat where when the wind blows, it blows heat and worship God that's a block and a half away and stand there shoulder to shoulder with other Indian Catholics. And the ones that I met in Kuwait, because I saw this with my own eyes, the ones I met in Kuwait, it was their day off from work, their only day off, okay, and they all came in steak trucks, and there was 50 guys in a steak truck, open steak truck, no shade, no cover, and they came to worship God. And when I saw that, I tell you something, it opened my eyes, and I see some of these African people. There's a priest in my parish. He's from Nigeria, and he'll he gets everybody depressed. He says, in my country, when we have a mass on Sunday, it goes for the whole day. And these guys, they're racing to get out of the parking lot, you know, and to beat the second collection. It was really funny, man. Americans are too busy for God. Hey, I'm too busy. Okay, let's see what Dinesh has to say. But there are people out there that are deeply religious. There was a girl, she's a woman, she has about an 8 or 10-year-old daughter, and she was running the gauntlet to sneak into the United States, and she was being interviewed. And the girl who was interviewing her said, you're going to die in the desert. And the girl said, no, God will protect me. What about your daughter? God will protect her too. You can't get a deeper devotion to God than that, man. You know, that just shakes me up. Okay. Oh, and and the good news is tonight that the Pope has fired all the financial advisors in the Vatican. Oh, you know, if he keeps this up, he may run for president of the United States. Oh, man. Yeah, and they're all labeling him a communist. He just fired the financial advisors. Yeah, unbelievable, man. He's a good guy. And he operates on one lung. And he's got more energy than a lot of people I know that have three lungs. In the interview, we covered such topics as the left's disingenuous championing of the little guy. Oh, yeah, they always play to the little guy. Yeah, you know what cracked me up? You're talking about the little guy, right? There was a Democrat fundraiser and cocktail party. And one of the biggest fundraisers, biggest donators to the Democrat Party walked in. And the guys are milling around and they're shooting the breeze. So he wanted to ingratiate himself with a crowd that was right there as he walked in. And he walked over to them. And and a Democrat handed him his glass and said, rum and coke. and that was the last time he was in the Democrat Party. Yeah. How's that for a put down? I've had put downs like that. Yeah. I had a guy once, and he said, "What's your last name?" I gave him my last name. It's as Irish as you can get. And he looks at me and goes, "I was drunk once." How's that? Now, if that had been my father, you know, I'm a pacifist. If that had been my father, that would have been 10 rounds with the guy that lasted 10 rounds with Reverend Mother. Yeah, my old man would have... He would have said, "We'll make short work of this guy." That was his famous saying, "We'll make short work." Everybody was short work. The man who shaped the dastardly tactics of both the current and, if the left gets their way, a future president, D'Souza's upcoming movie, and much more. I'll tell you another quick one. This is, you see, that's from a guy taking you for being Irish. And what he doesn't know is that my belly is not a beer belly. It's Oreo cookies and Coca-Cola. But I was on the anniversary, the first anniversary in 9/11. Bill Clinton was on the David Letterman show telling jokes about he does cocaine on the first anniversary of 9/11. On the first anniversary of 9/11, my wife was going to meet with her school chums in their annual school get-together, and she was flying to North Carolina, and she was going to get on a plane on the first anniversary of 9/11. And I said to her, "No way are you flying." And I drove her down to North Carolina. So this is an all-girls rally. I tease them. I call them the Daughters of Lesbos. And I think what they do is they meet once a year and they plan which husband must die this year. So they draw straws, and luckily I'm the long straw. But so I stayed at a hotel nearby. And the first day I'm there, I go into the... to the stationery, you know, where they sell the candy and the bukala in Pakistani. I went into the bukala and I bought something, and the girl, I said something to the girl, "Hi, how you doing?" We greet each other, and she says, "I love your mafia accent." Oh, man. And I was stunned. I couldn't believe that. I was stunned. So I got to the door and I turned around. And I said to her, "Tartaglia is a pimp. It was Barzini all along." Then I went into the luncheon, into the restaurant for lunch, and I'm sitting by myself at a table. And there are two couples at another table, and they're planning a menu for a gathering that they're having. And I hear them say, "We can't go over $17.83. And one guy says, "You know what? Let's cut out the potatoes and we'll get rid of the Irish." Then the waitress comes over to me and she says, "Yes, sir, what would you like?" I says, "What kind of potato salad? What kind of salad do you have?" And she says, "Well, we have this, we have that." I says, "Do you have potato salad?" And... And then she says, "Would you like something to drink?" I says, "Yes, I'll have the potato vodka." And then she said, "What would you like with the meal?" I says, "What kind of potatoes do you have? Do you have the Idaho or the Long Island?" And the people at the next table got up and left. Yeah, you can have a little fun, right? You can have a little fun once in a while. I got a buddy. God bless him. He had a boy and a girl. And they were all like wannabe actors, and they used to rehearse lines as a family. And when he took them shopping at the supermarket, and when they got to the checkout counter, the kids would say, "Daddy, can we have candy?" And he would say, "Candy? What did I tell you about asking me for candy in this place? When we get home, you're both getting a beating with the belt." And the kids would start crying. "And so is your mother." And women, liberated women, would clutch their children. Unbelievable. This guy was really, he was a corker. He would dance with his wife in the supermarket, you know, to the music. And he was a fireman. And the first time he brought his wife down to the firehouse, he told all the all the firemen at the house, he said, "Listen, she's very hard of hearing, so talk loud, speak slow, and enunciate." So he goes, "Fellas, this is my wife, Mickey." And they would go, "Hello, Mickey. How are you?" Too much. All right, go back to D'Souza. Dinesh D'Souza, during a recent episode of Real News, in your book, you take on the left in their own terms, focusing on those at the bottom of society. Or, as the left describes it, looking at history from below. Never forget, useful idiots is a communist buzzword. And another communist slogan is, you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. That means that the lower classes are dispensable. Why did you choose to go that route? He says, "I'm willing to argue that the left is actually attacking ordinary people." Then he goes in to explain. The left is very successful at appearing to the principle of justice and justice for the man lowest down. Sometimes as conservatives, we miss the force of that. We reply by chanting liberty. But we have to remember that justice is a key principle. Right, the Pledge of Allegiance with liberty and justice for all. So we can't ignore justice, and what I do in the book and film is to engage the left on its own terms. I go, okay, let's really look at whether or not America has been good for the common man. Forget about the rich guy. He's going to do well everywhere. Let's judge a society by the kind of life it makes available to the ordinary fellow. So I'm willing to argue that the left is actually attacking ordinary people. Let me give you an example of what I mean. The left says the wealth of America is stolen. So here's the first question. Who stole it? Was it the 1%? Now, if we look at American history, who are the people who moved west and displaced the Indians? The immigrants. Who are the people who benefited from slavery? Well, everybody who bought a cotton shirt. Who are the people who defeated, and who are the people who defeated the Mexicans in the Mexican War? Ordinary immigrants and settlers. That's right. That's a good argument about anybody who bought a cotton shirt supported slavery. So the point is that the critique of America is not one that is aimed at wealthy aristocrats who had beautiful cottages and mansions on the East Coast. The progressive critique is an attack on the immigrants themselves. It's an attack on people like me. And so what I'm doing here is making a defense of the ordinary American against these malicious charges that are leveled by the left, which are untrue, and the prelude to shaking us down economically. I'm going to break for a tune. We'll come back. We'll do some more D'Souza. Let me find you a nice tune. You know, tomorrow is D-Day. And I'm going to do a, let me see. Oh, all right, I'm going to do a Da-Do Run Run. And that's what the Germans were doing. Da-Do Run Run. And we went there.
Run, 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 to do run.
starting to tell you about, we said that they played this on D-Day, the Do Run Run. There is a story slash joke about an American tourist who goes to Orly Airport in Paris, and the customs officer said, "Your passport, sir." And he says, "I don't need a passport." And the customs officer said, "Monsieur, this is France, and when you come here, you need a passport." And the guy, the American guy, said, "Gee, that's funny. The last time I was here was on D-Day, and nobody asked me for a passport. As a matter of fact, the only guys that were here were German." And I always tease them. I say that the GIs came on D-Day, and they went to Paris and took the girls away, the French girls away from the Germans. But I also respect and honor the French for the gift that they gave us of freedom at the Battle of Yorktown, and also for the Marquis de Lafayette, who was very rich, or fairly rich. And he went, his first move as a young man, I think he was under 20 years old, he bought a merchant ship, and he sailed to the United States. And when he landed here, he turned the merchant ship over to the fledgling U.S. Navy. And then he offered his services to George Washington, and Washington always loved him, and the Marquis de Lafayette. I may be wrong on this story. I may have my facts mixed up. But when he died, he was buried in a shoddy grave. And I think Teddy Roosevelt, with his big stick and navy, went to France and brought Lafayette's body back to the United States and buried him with full honors. I think he may be at Annapolis, but I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure that's the way the story went. Boy, we could use a Teddy Roosevelt today, couldn't we? Okay. So, and Louis XIV. If it wasn't for Louis XIV, we may not have won the Battle of Yorktown, because it was the French Navy that bottled up Yorktown so that there could be no relief for Lord Cornwallis. And also, I think there was like 10,000 French troops that landed with General Rochambeau. So, and Louis was breaking the bank to back us, and he lost his head. That's what I say about the French. We're the only ones that had a successful revolution. In the entire history of the world, the Americans are the only one that had a successful revolution. The French had a revolution after us, but they killed all the wrong people. So let's keep that revolution spirit of America alive and not let the communists take over this country and turn our children into sex deviants in the fifth grade. So we got to clean up our act. We got to clean it up. I wonder what the Latin slogan is for clean up your act. Right. So let's go back to Dinesh D'Souza. So the point is that the critique of America is not one that is aimed at wealthy aristocrats who had beautiful cottages. Oh, we saw that. We said that already. You frame that thesis, ironically, around two Frenchmen, Alexis de Tocqueville and Michel Michael Foucault. Can you expound on the dichotomy represented by these two men and the spirit of 1776 versus that of 1968? Yeah, we see the spirit of 76 and 68 by looking at two French guys, both of whom came to America at different times. De Tocqueville came in the early 19th century, and when he saw what he saw was the American founding principles in action, basically half a century after they had been put into effect. And that the Tocqueville noticed was that America was a very entrepreneurial society. Now we're being were being turned back into slaves, welfare slaves. I gotta wait for the check. I am not worthless. I can't work. I have nothing. Only the government can save me. I'm voting for Obama. That's not the way America's built, and survival of the fittest is still the law of the jungle. America was a society where people rely very little on the government, and America is a society deeply infused with Christian values. So de Tocqueville saw, if you will, conservative America. Now fast forward 150 years when Michel Foucault came to America in the 1970s, and what he liked about America, he liked de Tocqueville, grew to love America. But he loved America because he saw America as a mecca of gay liberation. The things that de Tocqueville saw about America, like his entrepreneurship or its Christianity, Foucault hated. He hated that America. But what he liked is a different America, and he saw in the Castro district of San Francisco what he called laboratories of sexual experimentation. So these are really two different Americas. In Foucault, you get a glimpse of a different kind of America that progressives might prefer to the principles of 1776. My friends, the word leftist, I hear a lot of guys talking about the left. They'll never say the word communist because they've already been muzzled. Leftist, progressive, Democrat, they're all communists. In moving from 1776 ethos to that of 1968, you speak to Saul Alinsky's playbook. Everybody talks about Saul Alinsky. But nobody talks about Antonio Gramsci, who wrote the penetration rules for destroying religion. And one of the things you say, and something that I hadn't seen elsewhere, is that Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals effectively are derived from the same playbook as that of the devil, which kind of explains why he dedicated rules of radicals for radicals to Satan. Did you know that? Can you expound upon that? He dedicated rules for radicals to Satan. Satan, then he got a picture of Satan as drawn by Gustave Adore in John Milton's Paradise Lost. D'Souza. Well, something strange is going on here because Alinsky was obviously not a Christian. In fact, he was an atheist. Communism and atheism work hand in hand. Or hoof and hoof. So why would an atheist dedicate a book to Lucifer? I think to discover the answer, you have to pay careful attention to what Lucifer represents in the Western tradition. So I did a close reading of Milton's Paradise Lost, and you can begin to see how Lucifer operates. First of all, Lucifer is a master of organizing resentment, and so is Alinsky. Lucifer is also a master at making God the bad guy. So even though Lucifer rebels against God, and he won't spell God, he puts a G-D. So he must have a great fervor for the name of the Lord. You are a tyrant, he's saying to God. Lucifer goes, God, you are a tyrant. I don't have to follow you. I want my own kingdom. So Lucifer practices. You may say, a demonization against God. And finally, Lucifer is a liar. He is a master of dishonesty and deceit. Yep, that fits the Democrat playbook. Now, Alinsky adopted these Luciferian techniques. And so, for example, Alinsky openly advocates a deceit. He tells the radicals of the 60s, you know you people are middle class, but you hate the middle class. You hate middle class values, and that's very good. But what you should do is to pretend to be a friend of the middle class, pass yourself off as the middle class, and use your position in the middle class to rub raw the sores of discontent. That is another way of saying divide and conquer. And you know what? That's quoted by Cicero. The enemy in the, inside the gates is almost word for word the Saul Alinsky tactic. He's one of you, and he will destroy you. He is more to fear than a murderer. Okay. Try to radicalize the middle class by feigning or pretending to share their values. And I think here we begin to see the Obama and even the Hillary playbook, which is to say the ways in which Hillary and Obama both started out as bohemians or hippies and then quickly adopted to the Alinskyite approach of, as Alinsky says, dressing square, seeming very respectable and being very self-disciplined and ultimately pretending to be a friend of the middle class, whose values you are trying to undermine. So that's the Dinesh D'Souza's one little blast and advertising America, imagine a world without her. I always say, when we fall, who's going to take us in? What do you think about that? Do you think anybody will take us in if we fall? Or will somebody say this country is too good for you and you don't deserve it? I know him. He was one of those guys that went to church. He's a Catholic. Somebody get a rope. Yeah. Well, here's bad news for Dear John. You want to hear a Dear John letter? The original Dear John.
Dear John, oh how I hate to write. Dear John, I must let you know tonight that my love for you has died away like Christ upon the lawn. And tonight I wait another. Dear John, dear John,
I was overseas in battle when the mail caught up with me, and they handed me a letter. Why, I was happy as could be, for the fighting was all over and the battle had been won. Then I opened up the letter, and it started, Dear John.
Dear John, oh how I hate to write. Dear John, I must let you know tonight that my has died away like Christ upon the lawn. And tonight I wait another. Dear John, dear John,
will you please send back my picture? My husband wants it now. And when I tell you who I'm marrying, why, you won't care, dear, anyhow. Now the ceremony has started, and I'll wed your brother Don. Will you wish us happiness forever, dear John?
And tonight I wed another, dear John.
How's that for burning a guy to the ground? Huh? He's in the battlefield and she's telling him to send her picture back because she doesn't want to have another one made. Unbelievable, man. Now, that's got a southern accent to it, or a western accent to it, but that could very well be in New York. That could very well be up north here. I often say that that the guys that have the wedding outfits, you know, the bridal gown shots. They could double their money if they also catered to divorce receptions. Yeah, pretty soon we're going to have divorce receptions. What did I see? I saw a stat that 50% divorce among Americans right now, but if it's a second marriage for both, the rate goes to 63% divorce. How's that? The second time around. Yeah. It is rough, man. It is rough. The Greatest Generation, they didn't do net worth. There was only one lawyer per country. There was only one lawyer per state with the Greatest Generation. And the most he was ever paid was $20. And now they've made unhappiness a new economy. It's really terrible, man. A thriving business. It is really sad. And I was watching, she's an advisor to people that are about to break up, and she's saying, oh, yeah, as soon as you start going steady, get a prenup agreement. And do it while you're still thinking nice things about each other. It is sad, man. What a country. You know what? We look everywhere but where we should be looking. If you look to God, you get a clean feeling, man. You get a clean feeling. And if you really pay attention to God, you can almost get a spiritual high. And I've only been there once, and it was great. But like I say, I follow the Ten Commandments. I'm a seven. Okay, so. And we're now looking at Harry Reid, and they're now saying that he knew about Bergdahl Taliban prisoner swap. And I saw Saxby Chambliss, and I think he feigned outrage, but I don't think he was fully committed to outrage. But there's one thing you should know. That a lot of people don't know, we're calling the guys we traded the Taliban, but it wasn't the Taliban that were holding Bo. Notice the communists call him on a first name basis, and he's Private Bo. He's Private Bo. When he walked off the reservation, he was a private. Obama promoted him because traitors can be promoted. They can also be given good jobs. In the Department of Justice, in the IRS, in the BLM, the bacon, lettuce, and mayonnaise people. It is sad, man. Farmers, I feel sorry for you. This government is coming for you. Fishermen, especially you New England fishermen, you're being railroaded. You're being sent to Gehenna. It is really sad. Miners, they want to turn your mines into graves. They're going to wipe out every small mining town in the country. The communist movement is very strong. It's like a giant government Walmart. They come into town, they take over all the small business, they drive all the small business out, and then when it's their game and their rules, they raise the prices. And that's coming. And price increases are coming. The price of pigs is up. The price of cattle is up. And the vegans are going to put everybody on a green diet. If you don't eat spinach, you may be assassinated. Somebody will spear you with an asparagus tip. Oh, man. It is terrible. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Small business, mom and pop, especially a pregnant mom and pop, they are definitely the enemy of the communist state. We are living in a communist world. Divide and conquer is a Saul Alinsky tactic. What difference does it make? Listen, old man, this is our country, and that you and Bozo have out in the path of harm's way. That doesn't bring back the men that were killed hunting for that traitor. Have you ever thought about what you are going to say to the parents, wives, children of these men? But being you probably nothing because you have do not have a conscience. And that's from a lady, Anna May. And let's see if we can find any more similar to Anna May's blog. Harry Reid is Ronald Nelson. He's a colonel. He's retired. We are witnessing the end game in a classical Marxist internal insurgency as it transitions from a covert insurgency into an outright overt coup. The Marxists and the government are executing the last phase in America's transformation into a communist state. My heart aches for every mother who has young children. It tears me up. I listened to Joe Walsh tonight. He's a guy from Chicago. He's on 970 The Answer between 5 and 6, right after Mike Savage. He's in between 5 and 6, 5 to 8 on internet radio. 970 The Answer. He's an ex-congressman from Illinois. He's all upset that they're giving out condoms for kids in the sixth grade. I have heard stories of kids in the fifth grade giving BJs in the school hallways. We're in trouble. We're all dancing into the arms of the devil, and the devil is wearing a hammer and sickle T-shirt. FEMA camps will become American gulags. The holding camps for processing American patriots and dissidents. Can you imagine 60,000 children walked over the border and are now the responsibility of the United States? The willing responsibility of the people who control your purse strings. You're working 2 to 3 jobs. You're feeding a fat Jabba the Hutt type government. We could do with away with 80% of this useless government and be more efficient. The patriot, I went to my doctor today and he said, you know what, you don't have to come every 3 months. You can now come every 4 months. And I said, oh, good. And then I said to myself when I'm leaving, is this a part of the new health care plan? Already I'm being moved. I think it's because I'm healthier. But I don't know, you know. I think not. History repeats itself, even in America. To ignore the signs of the times, the plans, preparations, and actions of this administration is to bury one's head in the sand. Well, you know what follows the head, the rest of the body. Massive denial and strong delusion has come upon America. History is our schoolmaster if we learn from it. What Obama is doing comes directly from Stalin's manual for communist insurgencies. Nikita Khrushchev warned my parents in 1958 that their children's children would be socialist, that communists would bury America from within without firing a shot. My parents' children are coming of age today. You know, you ever hear the saying, you don't miss what you never had? That goes for freedom, too. Now, I got to tell you something. Jimmy from Brooklyn believes that we lost the Cold War. He believes that when the wall came down, it just allowed the KGB to come in and organize in the United States. He believes that we stopped fighting communism when the wall came down, but the communists never stopped fighting. He also believes that Russia and China feigned a split in order to get U.S. money because they said, look, we're helpless. You know, if you give me money, I'll fight the Russians. And the Russians said, if you give me money, I'll fight the Chinese. And you know what? We're making a bad policy of buying friends. Friends cannot be bought or sold. Marxist insurgency in control of America, and it must be now. We must find leaders with the ability and wealth to organize and finance an effective resistance to the Marxist insurgency and control of America, and it must be now, not tomorrow. I got to tell you, Obama cannot last a 2.5. We will not last a 2.5 more years under Obama. He has to be impeached. It's our only weapon. We are already behind the proverbial eight ball and longer have the time to wait for leaders to commit their wealth to the American cause and liberty. Are we in the last days? Will liberty's torch be extinguished on our watch? If you know men and women of wealth who are patriots, appeal to them to become active in the organization of the Patriot and Tea Party movement. Tea Party movement is the only one standing up for the country. And I got to tell you, who else is standing up for the country? But they've been destroyed. They've been brought to their knees by Republicans, and that's the John Birch Society. John Birch Society was founded on the death of the first American to be killed by communists, and his name was John Birch, and he was murdered in China by the communists. The communists have never stopped working. They corrupt us with drugs. Everything that they outlaw in their country, they want to see here. You think about that. Ask them to lend their talents and wealth for the saving of our nation. Our founding fathers pledged their liberty, fortunes, and sacred lives to the creation of this nation. We now need men and women of similar character. You know what's happening? A guy with 10 years in the service pulled the plug on his career and has walked off. He's cashed out. He's cashed out on America, and he's walked off into the sunset. And that's because he said after Benghazi, he, and now this, he can't take it anymore. And that's the goal. They've corrupted the military. They have sissified the military. They have morally destroyed the military. And what's going to be left, the good men are going to leave, and it's only going to be Shiites left in the military. And the military is less than 1% of the nation. So we don't have a big military. And George Washington said, and wiser words were never spoken, in times of peace, prepare for war, and we're not. We're preparing to lose. We're going to be like the French. People are going to laugh at us when we lose our country, and we're standing on the corner crying like that Frenchman in 1941. Right? When the Germans came marching under the Arc de Triomphe. Yep. Our progeny deserved a full measure of our devotion to such an end. Will America go silently into the night as does and she yet have the strength of character to rise again to liberty's call? Well, you know, when I first got the patriotic, I had an attack of patriotism. I was heartened by the fact that in the American Revolution, only 25% of the nation stood against the British, and they beat them. And it is really, I don't know if we have that 25% anymore. Let me break for a tune. We'll give you a tune by five guys that used to sing in the Air Force.
Is it any wonder why my skies are so
Okay, we're back. And I'm looking at somebody else's comment here, and it says, if Senator Reid doesn't understand the difference, he needs to be retired. Apparently, Reid is defending this traitor and the actions of the other traitor. There is an existing law which requires the administration to notify Congress 30 days prior to any release of prisoners held in Gitmo. Timing makes a difference. Now, he's saying that Harry Reid should retire. I got to tell you, if you want good, clean government, one term per termite, that's it. It should be like a vocation. You want to serve your country, join the army, do 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You want to serve your country, get elected to Congress, one term. Senate, one term. You're a judge, one term. That's it. Everybody gets a term. That's called term limits. And this VA scandal that they're now burying, okay, they're taking your focus off of all the other problems that they've created for the country. The VA should be, the veterans should be given vouchers to go anywhere they want instead of this going into a death house. And if I had my way, I would disband the VA and go private. And then the vouchers are to the veterans. And that's it. And then you get rid of all the bureaucrats in one shot. All the people that contributed, will cause the problem, you get rid of them, and the good people will go for jobs in the private industry. And it's no longer the responsibility of the government, except to take care of the veterans. But the running of the VA won't be their responsibility. And the less government we have, the freer we will stay. So, and that's for sure. And we could do away with a lot of agencies. These guys have been fattening up for years. They've created committees and grants and scholarship funds and money for the arts. For the arts, why should I have to support the ballet? If you want to do something for the ballet, give them used combat boots. You know, I could see, you know, give them some old stuff. This guy here, I think we already caught him. Let's see what he has to say. His name is Robert. Harry also pulled a Hillary by saying, what difference does it make, when I found out. Oh, Hillary has to stand trial for murder. She is the bitch of Benghazi. She must be held accountable. And we also want to see her medical records. I want to see the CAT scan results, because they say that she had a blood clot. She had a brain injury. But that's not true, because she landed on her head. Yeah. Anyway. So, Obama really extends executive order flouting immigration, disimmigration. Everything is a diversion to keep you off what they're really doing to the country. These are like little sparks, little flames of fire, tongues of fire. Check out Iran. Obama's taking the military option off the table, and America can't do a damn thing. Oh, we know that. We know that we're helpless. You know what it is? It's come down to now we have to suffer the casualties here at home. Once we start to suffer over 1 million casualties, then the nation will wake up that things are not right. But it's going to take. When 9-1-1 happened and 3,247 Americans died, plus 200 babies unborn that were crushed with their mothers, whose names belong on that wall, the family name belongs on the wall of those 200 mothers. And I wish those 200 mothers would petition to have the relatives of those 200 mothers petition to have their baby's name on the wall. Name the baby, put it on the wall. The baby had a last name before it was born. Give it a first name and put it on the wall. It's not fair that they should die unnamed. They were all pro-life babies. Skip Peters replies to the discussion, Harry Reid, and let's see what Skip says. Well, those that think Obama is there on the side like a Pelosi, Feinstein, the only reason Harry Reid knew was because, oh yeah, they're saying that Harry Reid knew about the Benghazi, he probably knew about that too, about the swap. Still needs his mouthpiece on the Senate floor. The rest of Obama's staff most likely said we can't tell the rest of the fools because they can't keep their mouths closed on anything. I can hear Rice telling Obama not to say anything to the dumb-ass Biden. He'll spread it all out at the bar in Wilmington, Delaware. You know who else is that? Leaky Leahy. Did you know that? Leaky Leahy. If you want to know what's going on, buy him a drink. Uh-huh. Okay, we're now into serious news. We're going to the Shubat newsletter. Walid Shubat is the voice of the Middle East. He's got his hand on the pulse of the wrist. And he's trying to rescue Christians that are being murdered by Muslims. You know those, the religion of peace, peace of you, peace of me. Oh, rich Hollywood actress caught conspiring to profit from Saudi oil and propaganda by destroying American jobs. You know who it is? It's the witch, Susan Sarandon. Sarandon is apparently an actress. I thought that, you know, it looked like Castro was dying, and the headline was going to be Fidel Castro. Fidel Castro Muerte. Susan Sarandon Muerte. She's a big communist, man, and she's a cop hater. She hates cops. Yes, Susan Sarandon is apparently an actress in the movies and in real life. In the movies, she pretends to be someone else. In real life, she pretends not to be a fraud. Project Veritas has done it again. It's a guy named Jim O'Keefe. He's a one-man band. He'll probably die like Breitbart did. He'll have a drink one night, and he'll be dead when he leaves the bar. Project Veritas has done it again. It is exposed in part two of an expose relayed by Shubat.com, the willingness, this is terrible the way it is, read more, let me do it. Anyway, she's dirty, okay, let me put it that way, she is dirty, and I'm going to jump to a tune because this is not moving fast enough. Oh, it's back, okay, so he said it's back. I'm going to play Don't Take Your Guns to Town, Son. And I'll cut it short because it's 5 minutes.
A young cowboy named Billy Joe grew restless on the farm. A good boy filled with wanderlust who really meant no harm. He changed his clothes and shined his boots and combed his dark hair down. His mother cried as he walked out, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." He laughed and kissed mom and said, "You Billy Joe's a man. I can shoot as quick and straight as anybody can. I wouldn't shoot without a cause. I'd gun nobody down." She cried again as he rode away. "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns.
And you know what happened? He took his guns to town and he got blown away. Yep, that's what happens when you don't drink and pack heat. Okay, this article that the Walid Shubat is talking about is on a video, 22 minutes, so I can't give you that. But I can give you the comments of American citizens. This is Bobby 8 Obama's clearly working for the other side. He got a twofer. He released the five murderous Muslim terrorists who, in my opinion, sip tea with Obama bin Laden as he plotted 9-1-1 under their protection, who will no doubt look to murder more Americans. And he got back an American-hating traitor, a man after his own heart, who he and his father is definitely, his father definitely disturbs me, man. That's not an American that was spawned. That was not an American who was spawned American. Who he attempted to make him out or to be a hero. The first thing that guy said was the Afghan children will be avenged. All right? So you know where he's coming from. All children should be avenged. The 200 children that died with their mothers on 9-1-1 should be avenged. And that plane came with trainees that were trained in Afghanistan. And Bush did the right thing. And he had those five Democrats that were Obama released. He had them in prison for 12 years. And Obama has now put them back on the battlefield, along with 36,000 criminals that he released from jail. And you don't think that this nation is under siege? You know what an army of 36,000 can do? Do you know what an army of 60,000 children can do? This is what happens when you put an unvetted, illegitimate imposter with no birth certificate and a Connecticut driver's license in the name of a guy that was born in 1890 in the highest office of the land, just to show you're not racist. That is true. They got us good, man. They got us good. We're all suckers. Great interview. I want to thank you for your insight on the Middle East. I believe God has chosen you to open his open a Westerner's eyes. God bless you. Thank you. I'll watch that video, and next time we talk, I'll give you a synopsis. Thank you for laying it all out. I picked up a few pieces here and there and thought that Bo was a traitor. Yeah, he's a traitor. The news today said he was staggering through a village, and the villagers told him he was heading in the wrong direction. He was going right into the arms of, he was going into harm's way. Okay, Mr. Schubert, thank you for laying it all out. Everybody's saying he laid it out, whatever. He must have laid it out good. I picked up a few pieces here and there and thought Bo was a traitor. The soldiers speaking out are under strict orders since 2009 not to say a word. Riddle me this, an extensive searches and loss of life as well as lifelong injuries suffered by our soldiers. The intelligence community and military command investigated Bo Bergdahl extensively. They closed the file, and here comes the kicker. The search mission ended. A small group of soldiers were given orders to hunt and kill Bo Bergdahl. Those who were involved do not want their names published due to threats with legal actions. I am convinced that Obama was aware of it all. He was also told most likely about Bo turning traitor. Soldiers also knew he became a traitor. Bo had also led Taliban ambush team to kill American soldiers. If that can be true, then he gets hanged. That can be proven, and the best way to prove it is to have somebody in the Taliban come forward. And, of course, he's got to come with proof, good proof. Obama wrote Bo Bergdahl off as a prisoner of war. Obama has been pushing to get his Dream Team 5 since 2012. Although intelligence and Pentagon labeled them high security risks, it didn't matter to Obama the traitor. He became, imagine this, a president of the United States is an effing traitor. That's what he's called, a traitor, a traitor. The first time in the history of this country, we got a rat. We got a rat that was bred by other rats. In this case, you don't cut the head of the snake off. You kill all the snakes. Became a convenient tool to Obama, and the best way to kill him is to impeach him. And he released them. He could not let Congress know because they would have denied him permission. That's right. That was his J call, judgment call. Okay, I'm going to give you a tune. going to give you Dixieland. I'm back. And I'm watching Kelly on Fox, and there's six guys that served with the traitor. So let me see what we got here.
No one likes us, I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot, and Canada's too cold. South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia, don't wanna hurt no kangaroo. We'll build an all-American amusement park there. They got surfing too. Boom goes London, boom Paris. More room for you and more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, we'll just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We'll set everybody free. You wear a Japanese kimono, baby, to be Italian shoes. They all hate us anyhow. So let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.
I'm going to shut the show down tonight. I'm sorry I gave you a short change. But I want to catch Kelly, and I want to listen to every one of those GIs that were betrayed. You know, they're very brave for coming out because Obama punishes his enemies. Just ask the Tea Party people. So I'm going to say sayonara. And tomorrow is a big tribute to D-Day. So we'll be covering a lot tomorrow. Have a nice night.